Welcome to the podcast for Freedom Ministries International, a place where you can find out about and stay informed on what is happening around the world with FMI and our teachings. Welcome to the latest episode of this FMI podcast. And once again, I have here with me Peter and Sonia. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Great to be here to give another update on how things are going.
Absolutely.
Yes, nice to catch up again.
Yes, yes. It's good to be back and to be back online.
Yes.
So you guys have been away.
Mm-hmm. We have.
I'm not jealous at all.
We've had a great time, haven't we?
It was officially called a month-long sabbatical.
Sabbatical. That's it. That's a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. Do you care to tell us a little bit about what that means, apart from just going on holiday? Because this is a spiritual thing.
Well, I'll just say, Sonia might give us a little bit of teaching on the principle. I'll just say that for me, the background is that a sabbatical is like a rest after a long period of not really getting a decent rest in theory. So people have been in their ministry position or job,
yep,
or something we tend to refer to ministry, and haven't really just had that really proper official break. And I think the concept is you sort of do nothing. We wouldn't say that we totally disconnected and did nothing. But I would say that, I didn't do what I didn't want to do. Whatever I did, even if it was touch a ministry or answering the odd email or responding to someone, it was because I wanted to. I didn't feel like pressure.
You didn't feel like you were forced.
I didn't feel forced. Because sometimes if you didn't answer that yes, it was going to be a problem 3 weeks later. And a yes is much easier just to say yes, go ahead, rather than create a problem that's going to be there. But it was a purpose of just having a rest from responsibilities. But I think for us, it was 3 weeks in New Zealand, or not 3 weeks in New Zealand, 20 days in New Zealand, I guess, and 10 days in Fiji. And the 10 days in Fiji was definitely a total rest.
Mrs. Thomas? Yes, it was a switch off. Yes,
that was the real switch off at the end.
Mm.
And NZ was fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. We also did a 5-day debrief with a wonderful couple who have been in ministry a long time, and they actually have a wonderful ministry of counsel and support, particularly for missionaries.
Okay.
So we were able to really just disappear there.
Hmm.
And
that was a rest of 5 days.
That was a total rest.
So you think of debrief of a soldier returning from war, and they do a debrief. What happened? What's gone on? How do you process? How have you processed all the events?
Something. What do you reflect? Yes.
So this is almost a bit like a lifetime debrief. This was pretty heavy because we never had a debrief.
Almost like a long service leave, you could say.
Kind of like a form of long service. So they just got us, not without really knowing a lot about the story, a little bit. They just got us to tell our stories. Mm. And then I wouldn't say they give you counsel. They give you little activities and ways to view,
reflections,
to reflect on what's gone on,
to process,
and how
you
have how have you responded, and maybe identify the things that you didn't really respond to at all. You just packed away, and sort of suggest you might need to respond to that. And that was just really good, quite freeing.
It was excellent. I really enjoyed it because I think I was able to process a lot of things because we had stopped work.
Yes.
So I was able to sort of look at my life from a different angle and then go back and see what have I learned? What have I overcome? What have we overcome? Mm-hmm. Where are we going? We also, by the end of the fifth day, we were making plans and how did we feel about the future? And it was very optimistic.
Yes.
So it was a very good experience. And something we've never done, but I could see us doing something like that for people that may need that sort of opportunity to just sit and just share their heart. And especially if you don't know the people that you're chatting with.
Yes, yes, because so then there's no bias or any preconceived ideas.
No, and they just were simply there. It was a very loving experience, a loving
environment.
So it was a great experience.
They felt called to do this, particularly for returning missionaries. They sort of treated it like that. You've been in mission a long time, you're kind of at a bit of a transition. So it was great.
And we didn't know what to expect, so
we didn't, and so something a bit unique, so it was good.
Amen.
A true retreat.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's a retreat. It's the concept of a real retreat, isn't it?
A true retreat. Yes. Yeah, that's about how I would describe it. People say, "So what do you do?" I said, "Well, think of a real retreat, a way to re-look at the past and look to the future." That's kind of what it was. Mm. So it's great.
And we got to hear each other's life story. So I sat and listened to Peter's story, And I don't think I've ever sat in one whole setting.
Yes.
Or
yes.
sitting, sorry, and actually heard from beginning, you know, his life.
And especially life through events. Through his own words yes. and vice versa. He yep. got to hear it from your yep. perspective.
Well, I thought Peter's was really long. It was 3.5 hours straight. No, no toilet
three,
break.
2 hours and 50 minutes. I'd just like to stand.
Okay. Well, it felt like 3.5 to me. But the shocker was, how long was mine the next day?
Five.
I went 5 hours.
5 hours. 5 hours.
Five
there you
hours.
After giving it to me slightly the night before.
This poor couple.
You had 2 hours and you took 3 hours.
5 hours.
2 hours 50. You took 2:50. You went an hour longer than you should have, she's yeah. telling me. She goes 3 hours longer.
But it was, yeah, I think it was a healing experience.
The MC's now. He's laughing. And they yeah. said, no, they didn't try to stop it. Or,
no.
They just said, well, no, I think no we're just here.
To them, that's probably, because, and let's face it, there is that... The women have their 30,000 words they need to say, and men have their. But I'm not going to go into that.
I must say, since you're that gone, experience, I don't already. Think I've spoken more than 10 minutes at any one time. So I've gone back to my quiet self.
Okay. Well, no, but that, it needed to be said. No, so that's great.
Yeah.
That's,
yes.
Yeah. No, it was a good experience. I recommend it for any couple or anybody in ministry who.
Just in life, to be yeah. honest.
Yep.
Yeah, look, yeah. we've had a lot of stuff go on in our life, you know, but when you're the senior mm-hmm. leaders, you don't really have time to sit.
You're
on to
the next thing. What are we doing next? What's happening
well,
next?
You don't process yes. your own yes. issues. And we've never been in an environment to be vulnerable in that way.
Mm. It's great when you don't know anyone,
isn't
it?
That was a challenge. It was hard to be
vulnerable.
I think
that's probably a bit of a key.
Yes.
There's no consequence. You're not yes. hurting, offending or worrying the people that you're talking to.
Yes, mm. yes.
Yeah.
And you're processing yourself and you're discovering mm. okay, and they are both, these people are completely and utterly like highly intelligent, trained with, yes you know yes. the max,
and love the Lord
very much. But the thing was that they've both studied psychopsychology
psychotherapy
so mm. they learn it, not your body language basically yes. by the end of yes. it. I was looking at Peter and observing the change in body language,
yes,
and that's where you identify emotion or heights,
yes,
of,
or issues,
you know?
Yeah, and so, good things and low things, yeah.
So I learnt a lot of little things that I can use in counselling and helping people.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so the Sabbath in itself, though, is a very, very powerful thing.
Yes, and let's get to the spiritual side of this.
Well, for many years, I have to be honest, I always thought of the Sabbath as being something legal. It was legalism, you know, where people religiously kept the Sabbath like yep, it, you yep. know, as a banner of like, I'm a true Christian.
Yes, yes.
Or I'm a committed person because I do the Sabbath. And I really never understood what the Sabbath was until I did the EHD course, which I recommend
yes.
any Christian should look at doing, the Emotionally Healthy Discipleship course.
Yes. Mm.
I wave the flag and take my hat off to Pete Scazzaro, who founded that ministry with his wife, Jerry. It is something that you just don't realize.
Yes.
The maturity of a true Christian comes down to the way that you treat others mm. and the way that you have actually been honest in having a true estimate of yourself.
Yes. Yes.
So you can be Sabbath. In ministry
mm.
and you can do a lot of things. And part of the course is about making rhythms in your life. Or carving out time to care for your soul.
Yes, yes.
Especially when you are ministering at high Amen. Level capacities. So, mm. you know, we see people that are struggling and fall into mistakes because they're not caring. And that's their confession.
Mm.
When they look back at their mistakes, they think, I wasn't looking after my soul.
Yes.
So
yes, okay.
Sabbath is about rest.
Yes.
And it's not just rest, though, for the sake of stopping and resting. It's to delight in God. And to enjoy him and to give yourself the opportunity to stop and pause and take in what's going on in your life.
Okay.
What's yes. going on in your heart, to contemplate and to think about the good things in your life. Look at the highs, look at the lows, and check on your own emotions. Check on your own heart, your mind, what's happening. It's a time of reflection, but also enjoyment, so that you can take a deep breath and really hear from God and, you know, spend time with him and delighting in him. And the actual word Sabbath actually means to stop work, to cease. That's actually what the definition is. So you can do that in different ways, because in our, one of the hardest things that we all face is the busyness of life.
Yes.
And if you ask someone, how are you? Everyone pretty much answers with, I'm busy. I'm busy. Yeah, really busy.
Yes.
Like it's
yes.
a badge of honour to wear. And I was yes. like that. I've yeah. been like that for decades.
Yes.
Too busy okay. to actually realise that that's not healthy.
No, that's not ideal, is it?
And to be honest and to stop and to create a Sabbath or a rhythm of Sabbath, you don't have to have a full day of rest. Start small. Start with just moments of silence, a daily habit.
Mm.
But if you can take a portion, a morning or an afternoon once a week, and say, this is my Sabbath. I'm not going to work. I'm just going to switch off and I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to do something I enjoy, I delight in. And I think it does involve some form of recreation. Or, you know, just even like one of the big things is just experiencing the beauty around you of creation. Go for a walk.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really the beginning steps for Sabbath. And if people will do that, they'll actually come out of that with a perspective that is much healthier toward their spouse, their friendships, their work ethic, their decision-making, their choices, their problem-solving, all because they've simply had a time of Sabbath. So we'll talk more about this maybe down the road, but on my podcast, Be Still and Know,
yes.
I do talk about this, and I have little snippets, you know, 9 or 10 minutes, where you can have a little Sabbath in the day, have that contemplation, have a moment to think about Christ, to just enjoy, take a deep breath.
Well, a sabbatical is Sabbath on steroids. It's a big Sabbath.
The big Sabbath, that's what you've taken. And, and interesting how you guys are talking about it from, and I've done the EDH course as well, and one of the things that I've taken away is the busyness and productivity are two separate things, because you can be productive by being on Sabbath. That's that's actually contributing to you being a productive person, because you're doing something that's maintaining yourself.
Exactly.
So for me, that was the powerful, I suppose, lesson there behind the Sabbath, which is I can feel productive even though I have had a day of, let's call it, play. I've been productive. Whereas we used to, or quite often, especially in Australia, the concept is, unless I'm right off my feet and I've ticked off a whole list of things that are, you know, stressing me out or whatever, I'm not productive. And it's putting that connection that being a productive person means being restful. That's productivity.
Well, that's where inspiration comes from.
Yes.
The best inspiration comes from that place. And we should be serving as ministers, as leaders, we should be serving from a place of rest.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just burnout all the time. And there's no enjoyment in what you're doing.
Yes.
And I don't think that was Christ's mission. It wasn't. No, he operated from a place of rest. I mean, some people say, well, Christ was on the go. Yes, he was, but he spent time resting.
He spent a lot of time away from everyone. Like,
that's right. He made time. Didn't
he? He was retreating, let's face it, a lot. And probably to balance out all of the other stuff he was doing all the day, because he was so, let's call it, busy. He retreated to then recharge. Well,
life was slower, wasn't it? I mean, they walked
as well, between. Generally.
And someone said that he chose to walk. He never seemed to choose donkeys except for the time. We only read of him riding on a donkey. We seem to have pictures of him walking, because the walking was a chance, obviously, to talk,
caravans. There were caravans back then. Yeah. They would have had all that form of right.
They didn't use it. And I guess it was even a chance for him and the disciples to do a little bit of a debrief between events, you know,
a
rest time. So, yeah.
It was actually quite hard to switch off for that month.
Okay.
And when we went to Fiji, it took me 2 days to actually calm my body because,
you're in this.
I don't know how
state.
To do nothing. I don't know.
I was switched off already.
Well, Peter read a great book.
I did. Yes.
And I must read it too.
Yes, I read the former Prime Minister Scott Morrison's book.
Okay.
God's plans. I can't even get the title right, but it's definitely worth
what
reading.
A great read.
Strong.
What he
strong
shared
word.
Was amazing.
Really, really, yeah.
Fantastic.
Strong word. A lot of scripture and real. if someone picks it up to and they're not a Christian, they're going to know the gospel well and truly by
give
the end of the
day. Give it as a gift. Okay. It'd be a great gift for someone. Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're on sabbatical and you were in New Zealand.
Yes.
Of course, during that time they had a bit of a conference, didn't
they? It began with the conference.
Yes. Fill the temple. Fill the temple. What an awesome conference.
It was. It's their third conference.
Yeah, third conference. Mm. And they had John Pierce. He was he's a phenomenal leader from
C3.
He's sort of a leader of leaders, 600 churches under him, and very dynamic, very practical, but Holy Spirit anointed teaching from him. And then there was Trent. I can't pronounce his surname.
Membray.
And he's an awesome. He and his wife, lovely. Lovely dynamic couple. They are New Zealanders.
Amazing testimonies of their own struggles.
He actually raised a baby from the dead. A dead baby was brought to him in his church.
Okay.
And they prayed and he raised in the name of Jesus that baby to life. So he's quite a dynamic evangelist and he travels and preaches and teaches.
But it was just a great really time dynamic. Of fellowship and worship. And
the worship was amazing too.
Announcements of church plants that they're doing in New Zealand.
Yes, they have four church plants. Christchurch. Under Adam and Grace.
And Wellington in the coming year. Yes. Yeah, Christchurch this year, Wellington next year.
Mm. Okay, and very exciting. There's a lot going on over there.
A real move of the Spirit, Fantastic. Really sense the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
moving.
And they're running. Okay.
Yeah,
they're running.
They are. They need to Sabbat.
Yes.
Shabbat a bit.
Yes, yes.
Which I think they are today. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Mm. So you went that and then you went on your sabbatical. Moving on. To New Cal.
Yeah, well, this is while being away, and we just want to mention this in an update. New Caledonia's had the real challenge of a social unrest, if that's the word, uprising, street protests. But yeah, so basically the picture is that New Caledonia's is French territory, and they regularly hold referendums. I think it might be every 2 years that often they'll have a referendum on whether they want independence. There must be some agreement to regularly ask the people.
Okay.
And the yes vote, I think, has been slowly increasing. Not every native person really wants it because they're not sure, does this mean we lose all the benefits, of which there's many. It's quite a modern city. They get hospital, they get free medical, they get incredible social welfare benefits because they're part of France and they can jump on a plane and go and live in France. They have a French passport. They can go anytime they want.
Yeah.
But there's also a big push for more independence. So anyway, there was a change made that allowed people that had moved from France couldn't vote in that referendum unless they'd lived there from prior to 1998. Suddenly there was a law put forward to move that up to like 2012, which suddenly would include a whole lot more people who've moved from France, if for want of a better word, mostly white French people, who then again would say no because they don't want to lose the French authority over the country. So that just was like, okay, now we're being pushed back again. So there's been a real response. It started off with a street protest, but I think it got out of hand with some rebels as well, I guess, and disenfranchised youth. And roads were blocked everywhere. Like
it's
the city
just
was
become
shut down.
A very serious event now.
Was like apparently literally in the billions, in the hundreds of millions of dollars of damage to shopping centres, car yards. Anyone that's been to New Cal, between the main town and the airport, 70 roadblocks with rebels overturning cars.
So it's almost a war zone in a sense.
Yeah, so a lot of that's been cleaned up in the recent months, but there's still parts of town that you cannot enter.
So like an active rebellion almost.
Yeah, it's still going on in little areas.
Yep,
and there's 3,500 French security forces that have come from France. Of course, that helped quell it.
Yes.
But now you're sort of living in a bit of a police state with these very heavy police patrols. So, yeah, pray for our members. They have not been able to hold church up until even last Sunday. So it's been like 2 months, no public gatherings.
Wow.
There's a curfew every night from 8 o'clock till 6 a.m. Can't be out of your house.
Okay, so it's worse than a COVID situation,
yeah,
really.
It's like a long COVID experience they're having. So, just pray for them and that there'll be a light in that situation. Some people have lost their jobs because their factories were burnt down, factories that employed 200 people burnt to the ground.
Yeah, and there's no more work.
So there's no work for those people. So that's a real challenge for them. Safe out on the islands and out in the villages. This is all pretty much around Noumea, the capital city. So it's something what we'd sort of used to seeing far away from our part of the world, but it's been a bit of an ongoing. So our leaders are Harry and Helena, so definitely pray for them.
Yes.
Very challenging for them. Yeah, we keep them all in prayer.
Yes, we do.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. It makes me think of the words of Jesus.
Mm.
Just trouble.
Yes.
Trouble and just, yeah, sign of the times.
Sign of, yes, the Lord returning, I think. Troubles. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I guess, you know, some we've been to Africa. I've been to Africa. They live with these sort of troubles. Every time there's an election, there's murders and riots and violence.
There's always police officers and army.
Yeah.
Yes.
Guns.
Yes,
we just don't see that in our part of the world.
We're just not used to it, are we? We live in this green zone, you could call it, of the world, where we don't see some of those actual troubles.
Well,
and
would have shut, tourism shut still. They're saying the hotels are full of soldiers.
Yeah.
So I guess that's some business for the hotels. All the foreign students went home. We have Nevans, the Vanuatu's and French, you know, go and study there. They all went home, went back to their countries. So a lot of expatriates, a lot of people left the country.
So it's everything's really in limbo at the
moment. It's a bit of a limbo, yes.
Yeah. So pray for them.
Definitely.
And our church over there to even just, because we've got members that we're still not 100% sure where they are.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going on.
Well, they haven't. They've been able to call them, but can't visit them, can't see them.
Yeah,
and
that's
2 months they've not been able to connect.
Very, very difficult, very challenging.
Yeah, very challenging.
Especially because they don't have access to some of the technologies that we have in Australia.
Not always,
to do that streaming and all that sort of stuff. So, absolutely. So, yes, well, everyone, if you can bring them before the Lord.
Absolutely.
And just think of our brothers and sisters over there in UCAL.
Yeah.
And moving on from that, a bit of an update in Australia, where we are. What's going on? What's happening?
Well, the Lord's moving. How would you describe it,
well,
son?
Well, having been away for a month, last night there was an incredible gathering of leaders, and I can only say that the Holy Spirit is just exploding.
Amen.
In the hearts of people. There's a hunger, there's a unity, there's a desire, a fresh anointing falling upon our church.
He's just randomly touching people in meetings and healing and delivering
and you can
challenging.
Sense there's like a
you
shaking
sense a presence in
a
the
shaking
room.
In the spirit.
Yeah.
A joy and a beautiful presence of the Lord. And the service, well, we'd been away from the service, so it's always a bit, you know, you miss your home church.
Yes.
But, you know, we've been in the church in New Zealand, and that's really just an amazing experience with all the believers coming together, and they're excited for Jesus and excited about the Holy Ghost. Well, it's exactly the same here. There's no difference.
Amen.
And the Melbourne church is just being led beautifully, powerfully by Pastor Neil and Grace. They're doing an incredible work.
Yeah.
And actually last night really in awe, because when Grace speaks, when Pastor Grace speaks, she's just got such a fire that's coming out of her, and you can sense the Holy Spirit is actually upon her and anointing her. And
very powerful.
You know, she's just growing so strong.
Worship team are going another level. You just really sense that things are moving. It's great.
It's exciting. Amen. And it's also global. This isn't just, like, it's happening around the world.
The Holy Spirit's stirring, isn't it?
He is in many churches.
Something big is happening, especially in this side of the world.
Yes, yes.
And it's, you know, prophecy. We take all the prophecies, but there's a lot of great prophecies that have been spoken about. The greatest revival of the whole world will come out of and usher in the coming of Christ from the South Pacific nations and Australia and New Zealand.
Amen.
Where we have churches everywhere there. It's an exciting
time. Amen.
Fantastic. So we're just watching and praying.
Yes, amen.
And standing
amen.
And believing.
Very exciting, yes.
Yes, and we're planning to go to Vanuatu again soon.
Yes, so Vanuatu, we're going to be visiting Sonia and I in August. Vanuatu, of course, had in April, May, the closure of Air Vanuatu.
Yes.
Which has contributed to quite a lot of challenges, particularly our conference we were planning for September. So on two fronts.
The Jubilee.
The Jubilee. So with the New Caledonian members not being able to commit to even get out of their country, some of them out of their house.
Yes, yes.
And then the problem with the airline. And that includes the domestic between all the islands. So we have 120 plus churches across the island. So for those members to even work out how they're all going to get to Vila, and we were at a point where we had to commit to buildings and payments and bookings. So we just said, look, I think too many people are going to miss out. Whether what the world looks like next year, at least we can plan for that, even if we're still in something like this.
Yes.
So we just made a decision to postpone it 12 months. Just really we could do something, but it wasn't going to be the same.
Yes, okay.
Of course, we had Australians who'd lost their tickets. They're slowly finding out. Yeah. Some of them mentioned last night they're getting refunds, but they didn't know anything at the time. How am I going to get there? And I've spent money and I don't think I can pay again unless they're going to transfer it.
That's it, yeah.
You weren't getting any answers.
No.
And even still, the airline isn't operating. So,
yes.
We just made that decision to postpone. But pray for it. That's been a bit of a hit for Vanuatu because it's initially hurt tourism, and other airlines are starting to pick up the slack. And then there's the struggles of movement. Our leaders, our pastors moving between the islands, everyone's having to get on boats, which they're doing. Mm. But some of them travel very seasickly. It's just not
the easiest thing. I think that's good to point out that the way that a lot of the regional pastors and members would get into the conference would be via Air Vanuatu, which no longer
exists,
is an option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's taking boats that take days as opposed to an hour to get to the... So it's not just a case of, us Australians can't get there.
Yeah.
It's a case of the people that really need to be there for their own jubilee.
That's right.
Can't make it for their own conference.
That's it.
So that's a real challenge.
Interestingly, it happened in May just before Peter was about to visit with Pastor Luca.
That's right.
Prophet Luca.
I know, there does seem to be a bit of an attack there, doesn't there?
Yeah, and, there was plans to go and speak with the president and pray again for the nation. So I do think, we need to pray and we need to, hold our position.
Hold the line.
Hold the name of Jesus over the nations and especially over the South Pacific because the nations are ours. And so we take authority over all those demonic powers and principalities that want to stop the gospel and stand in the way and hinder the gospel of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Because I do think that that's another thing that's very much in play here.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And it's a real pity because that celebration, the Jubilee 50-year celebration, was going to be an important one.
Important event.
For the church.
Yeah, for everything.
For the members and for the nation too.
Yeah.
Because the impact of our church ministry over there is very influential across the whole place.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, but we're going back and there'll be some great opportunities. We're doing some retreats.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to minister and...
In August, yes.
And see, I guess, give vision.
Yeah.
Well, that's the important thing. Yeah. And despite all these setbacks, we still push.
We still push.
We still go.
Yeah.
Jubilee is delayed. It's not stopped.
No, that's right.
And you guys, like I said, you guys are going over there to still run things to keep it happening.
Yeah.
And it's gonna keep going because that's what we can do in this world, this day and age. Keep pushing.
Yeah.
No matter what the, I think that's a great message concept, which is you keep pushing.
You do keep going.
You just keep walking.
Well, one door closes and then another door opens.
Mm. Yes, amen.
As the founder said on his video when he was asked, what would you say to anyone in ministry? Never give up.
Never give up.
Just keep going.
Amen.
It's a bit of you just keep going and then the Lord can work with your going.
Yes.
If you sit down and cry, you can't do much with people.
That's true.
Get up and get going.
That's it.
I mean, yes, you do feel that was a bit of a roadblock, but that's okay.
As you say, we push, Troy. Amen.
Keep pushing. Amen. Well, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you,
thanks,
brother.
Guys.
Catch up.
We'll be catching up again.
Yes, thank you to everyone who supports FMI. We really appreciate your support. We couldn't continue without you.
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
Do.
Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you in our next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find more of our resources on our website at freedomministriesint.org. That's freedomministriesint.org. Please subscribe to see more episodes, and we look forward to seeing you next time.